on the people. Dancing on the people like I.
Everybody in the booth can tell myself.
SMQBs episode 193. We got a full house of SMQB saying welcome back, House.
Yes, welcome back. House. We missed you.
Welcome back, House.
Has anything been happening in the sports world?
No. We'll ease you back into things tonight. We'll take it nice and slow with you. You know, I think you're probably a little rusty and don't have much to comment on tonight. So, but let's start with you.
You can lay out on most important things.
Yeah. Hey, House, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Well, I have a feeling there's gonna be a theme to this episode. I'm just guessing that it might be a little bit about loyalty. So I am going to bring to the bar one John Sumrall.
Oh,
and he is the coach of the Tulane Green Wave. We've had him for 1 year. We had a fantastic year. He's definitely a difference maker. And he made a decision despite being offered other maybe higher ranking jobs to stay at home in New Orleans. And so the whole round is on me, coach. As much as you want, thanks for staying. Enjoy the ride.
You should have that same conversation with your quarterback.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
Oh boy, a little transfer action. All right, Rooster, who are you bringing to the bar?
I am bringing your fellow alum and buddy Brian Cashman to the bar. Tell him it is time to fucking step up and earn his money, because now he's got a shit pot of money to spend that we didn't sign Juan Soto, and after last year's brilliant moves of doing things like passing on Teoscar Hernandez instead signing Alex Verdugo, he needs to start getting smart, because the Yankees, even with Juan Soto, could not get past the Dodgers in the World Series. So I'm not upset that we didn't spend $765 million on a guy we already had, because we need so much more. The holes in that lineup are huge. This offseason, you're going to see them get rid of LeMahieu because he can no longer play third base. They're going to get rid of Rizzo. He can no longer play first base. They may get rid of Gleyber Torres and move Jazz to his natural position of second base, which means they need a third baseman, they need a first baseman, they need an outfielder who can hit with power, and they need a starting pitcher and some relief.
My God, how many?
This is for a team that made the World Series.
You would have thought they came in at the bottom of the barrel. All right, we'll get back to the Yankees. Who you bring into the bar?
By the way, that was so annoying. We don't even have a fucking stadium, all right? I have to hear about the problems in the game. Jesus Christ.
Well, maybe we should just turn you into our minor league team, which you should be anyway.
First world problems, Milk.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. I'm going to bring one Ward Manuel, the head of the College Football Playoff Committee, and I want to congratulate him because I think he got it right.
Finally. You and I have the same one, Milk. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then add on where I don't. But
yeah, I will. Don't worry.
I don't have to hear. Let Alabama fans whine. They shouldn't have been in. They lost three times to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. SMU should have been in the playoff. They played their hearts out against Clemson. Should have won that game. They were going to win it if not for a 56-yard field goal miracle. They should be in it. They got it right. I love this play. I'm excited for this playoff. It's going to be awesome. December 20th game start. Let's go.
All right.
Good job.
He's going to get hammered with us, Milk, because I'm going to buy him a shot, slap him on the, congratulations. I want to hear if he would.
I'm
spill
about
the,
to throw up
tea,
in my mouth here.
If he'd spill the tea on what happened on the final deliberation between SMU and Alabama, because that would be fascinating to know who the committee members were, how the initial vote was, how it all finally came out. I mean, we'll never know, but God, would you love to be a fly on the wall in that final meeting?
Absolutely.
All right. I know. All right. And then I had a few people that I was thinking about bringing. I was thinking about Toto Wolf. I was thinking about Zach Brown. We'll come back to some of that stuff later, but I got it based on the latest headlines I'm seeing. I want to bring Bill Belichick.
Oh, UNC.
And find out what's going on, what he's thinking.
How the mighty have fallen.
What in the world? I'm very curious to know what's going through that man's head right now. Because he's acknowledged he's talking about the job with UNC. I don't know. Is that going to actually happen?
He's talking extensively with them.
Yeah.
That would be shocking.
But at the same time, he's putting out the word that he can't believe no NFL team is contacting him.
Well, because Mike McCarthy still has a job. No, look, yeah. I mean, there are some ties with Bill to to UNC. I'm not sure.
Pope, this is very confusing.
Yes, it is.
About Alabama.
I need my cast of characters.
Yes.
But the Inside Carolina people are reporting they think it's a done deal. They think he's coming.
Talking about Matt Miller? Wait.
We got to get to Matt Miller and find out about this.
Right. Yeah.
Pope needs to make a quick wardrobe change. Just a minute. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on. Hey, usually we go and talk a little football to start, but I think we should at least address the signing of one great Juan Soto. House, do you have anything to say about this?
Oh boy. I mean, look, I don't know if it's been discussed on the pod before that I think the whole thing with Soto is a little overblown. He's a great, as I think Rooster put it best, he's a great offensive baseball player. He's actually a pretty poor defensive player. And I think
he's a poor base runner.
He's a poor base runner. I think he's a pretty great setup to a guy like Aaron Judge or a guy like Bryce Harper or the other players that were on the Nationals. I don't understand this guy. I just don't get it. There's by now, everyone knows we're not breaking any news here. But this whole thing, and he was kissing the Yankees uniform at the end of the World Series, and he was saying how he loved Aaron Judge and playing that and all this BS. And at the end of the day, what separated the two deals was $3.5 million per year and $5 million over the whole life of the contract. There's no deferred money. And as somebody, there's a Yankees fan in my office today that said to me, you want to know something? In 2030, Juan Soto is going to be batting DH for the Yankees. So, like, who cares? There's an opt-out clause. There's an opt-out clause in 2029. Like Rooster said, the Yankees can get Alex Bregman. They can get Max Fried. They can get Teoscar Hernandez. There's all these other folks that they can fill it in. Juan Soto,
Corbin Burns is still out there. That's who we really need.
Juan Soto is one selfish, betraying dude. Like, he is one selfish, betraying dude.
Such a bad take. Such a bad take.
Listen, I know you are Mr. Glazer for Juan Soto, but you are also somebody that's about loyalty to team. Like, this has bothered you for a long time about people who don't stay true to the team and go off. Why are you not criticizing this guy just abandoning his team over a few million dollars?
What about the Scott Yankees. Boris? What about Scott Boris's role in this?
Yeah, for him,
I mean,
too.
Why not? You know, does he not have an obligation to talk about history with his clients? I mean, look at the history of the Mets. Like I always say, the Mets are the Mets. They will figure out a way to fuck this up. I mark my words. They're going to be bad again soon. And if he doesn't opt out, he's going to be compared to Bobby Bonilla someday because he's going to be an old offensive player who they cannot put out in the field.
So you talk about loyalty, though. I mean, do you realize this is the first time in his career he's been able to pick where he's going to play baseball, right?
Sure. Sure.
He's been
but
traded.
He made the wrong choice.
Well, yes,
nobody chooses the Mets. Nobody chooses the Mets over the Dodgers, the Yankees.
Listen, when was the Red last Sox, time the Yankees won a World Series? I mean, this idea that he needs to stay with the Yankees is like it's like irrational Yankee exuberance. Like
you said, he needed to stay with the Yankees.
I think he looks good two shows ago. I know. I think he should have. But I mean, the idea that like it's some like betrayal of history. I mean, The Yankees haven't won a World Series
it's
since
It's not
when.
The history of the Yankees that I'm talking about. It's the history of the Mets.
Well, hold on.
They suck. They were good at the end of last year.
They were the NLCS last year.
Yeah, at the end of last year, they were good. But historically, they're terrible. They're not well run. They destroy their starting pitchers, and they find a way to lose. They just do.
Rooster, Jeff Passan said that most likely came down to Soto saying, when I look at these two teams, the Mets have a brighter future than the Yankees. Is that a valid argument? I mean, why?
You just said they have to release, they have to cut the entire team and start over.
Judge is 33 and Cole is, you know, they have aging players, but still.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. They also have
Rodon. I mean, if they pick up somebody like Corbin Burns or Max Fried as their number two and Rodon as their number three, suddenly you're looking at a powerhouse starting pitching rotation.
Big question is going to be, do the Mets sign Pete Alonso?
Right.
No.
Well, I don't think so. In fact, I think he might end up in Washington. But but if they do sign him,
he's coming to the Rays.
He's not going to the Rays. But if they do sign him, that'll put together a pretty good 3-4 spot in the lineup. But House, I know you don't appreciate Soto, but I want to give you a couple comps for him because you really don't.
You're gonna give I'm going to say that they're great. They're great stats. Great stats.
I mean, like,
I'm talking about
they're not
the person now,
stats.
Not the player.
He's comparable in so many different ways. These are just some of the players that he's comparable to. Ted Williams, Mike Trout.
Both of them played for one team their whole career. FYI.
Ken Griffey Jr. Mickey Mantle. I mean, these are guys, A-Rod, that you can find different stats and match up where he is in his career, by the way, at the age of 25 or 26. And there's a good argument that he's every one of those players. I mean, this guy was clearly going to get what?
So he got $760 million from the Yankees. So what's your point?
Why does he have to stay with the Yankees? He was there 1 year and he got traded to him.
Why would you go to the Mets? Why? To play with Francisco Lindor?
That Milk just said, oh my God, Lindor, if they sign Alonso, I mean, that's they beat the Phillies last year. They knocked the Phillies out of the playoffs.
Yeah, the Phillies had pitching problems. Phillies had real pitching problems.
They do want to bring Alonso back. They've been pretty clear on that. They can.
But this brings me to another thing that I have to just address because I'm a little bit on Milk's side here, notwithstanding the Phillies payroll. But the Major League Baseball is letting baseball get destroyed in this way because they are losing just gazillions of fans because unless you're a Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Phillies, Padres fan, I don't know, maybe there's another big payroll. You can just forget it. That your chances are 1 in 50. You can just forget it. And Major League Baseball is allowing this to happen. And you know, it's so funny. They're doing all these stupid ideas that they're coming up, like the golden at bat and the ghost runner on second. Like, how about parity? How about putting some restraints on payrolls that allow you to have what other sports have that is the reason why people are turning on the television now more than ever to watch basketball or football and why baseball is dropping? Because if you're not watching the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, Padres, Phillies, like, who cares?
That's a good argument. You know what? Now, I'll agree with you on that.
I have to slightly disagree there. If you want to know what's really wrong with baseball, look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. They have an owner who does not try to win. He reminds me of some of my former law partners whose business plan was just to show up and make more money at the end of the year than they actually bring in because of the other partners who are working their asses off. That's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Whoa.
That's the Chicago White Sox.
I fail on LinkedIn for pirate firms.
No. Rooster, that's true. There are teams like that.
They shouldn't be allowed to get away with that. They shouldn't be allowed to own a team if that's their business.
No, that's you're failing. You're right. I mean, you're right, Rooster, about this. Like, I mean, there are teams that aren't trying. So you've got the problem on both ends, right? This is a sport.
Yeah, but it's cool to blame the Yankees and the Phillies and the Dodgers for all your problems.
Yeah, but this is a
sport. I'd like to take some money off your payroll and see how y'all do.
You could cut the Yankees payroll in half, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Phillies, and the Pirates will still suck because they're intentionally bad.
They're ceiling and a floor on salary. The sport is crying out for a ceiling and a floor. That's what it needs. If you're going to be an owner, you should be expected to spend so much money on salary on players every year, and you shouldn't be able to go over a certain amount. I mean, for crying out loud, there's even a cap, a spending cap in Formula One racing now to keep, you know, to help with parity. So, but you can definitely make the argument that there needs to be a floor too. And I'm on board with that.
All right.
Anyway, this whole BS that the Mets have never gone after trying to do something this, yet they've tried and failed, which is Rooster's point. Like, they're gonna Met. Like, they brought in Scherzer and they brought in DeGrom and they brought in Verlander and they this, that, well, the other thing. And
before that, it was Frank Viola and other washed up pitchers who were once great.
DeGrom was homegrown, wasn't he, with the Mets?
I think he might have been. That's true. Yeah. But they paid him.
The other thing you got to remember about the Mets in their history, though, is they've got a new owner. Now, Steve Cohen came in and bought the team from the Wilbon family, and he's been trying to get them to compete as a New York team should. And he had a pretty good year this year getting to the NLCS. So I don't know. I mean, I just think, where was the outrage last year when Ohtani left the Angels high and dry and went and signed with the Dodgers? I don't remember, House, you coming out and talking about loyalty and you know, milk's always been on this.
I don't know. But, well, wait a second. I mean, that's a fair point, but I think Ohtani tried to make it work there. Like, that team was not going in the right direction.
Right.
I mean, the Yankees were just right there on the edge of winning a World Series.
And we started the show off tonight with Rooster saying how they have to get rid of the entire infield. They may not be back there in a decade. They may not get back to the series in a decade.
Well, not a decade.
You play to your, what is the goal of playing for a Major League Baseball team? To win a World Series?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So if he thinks they were 4-2 in the Dodgers series?
Yeah. And they could have easily won a third game. They blew it.
Absolutely. So I'm the missing link to potentially get to the World Series. And I don't think that maybe the Yankees are getting older. Maybe he doesn't like their pitching staff. Maybe he hates their infield. I don't know.
Or their coach.
Or their coach. Milk, I think that's a big part of it. He sucks.
You know, Milk, it's a preview of the future of this very pod, but you are on record, at least in the college football context, of not blaming guys to want to go after getting more money from teams that have a better chance of winning. How do you reconcile that with blaming Major League Baseball for letting teams spend all they want to get whatever players they want? Yeah, this is how we cross-examine. Next question. Let's go.
The answer is, if it's not his team, it's good.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I would say look at the NFL. I think the NFL does a really good job with creating parity and excitement, and Major League Baseball could take a page out of the NFL.
For sure.
Yeah. All right.
Enough
let's
said.
Talk about something a little less controversial then and go and move into college football playoffs and what's going on in the state of the college football game. Hope, Milk, I mean, I got one question for you guys. You're the two, I think, traditionally the two biggest college football fans on
self-identified, no doubt.
Yeah. My first question is, are you excited about the playoff? Because I was with some Georgia fans on Friday and their feeling was like, I think the SEC championship ticket was like one of the cheapest tickets to get in a long time because people aren't that excited about that game because of the playoff. Sitting where we are now, is the 12-team playoff good for college football, or is it too early to say?
That's great. Great for college football. Means that it gives so much more excitement to the regular season games.
Did the championship games lose luster? The conference championship games?
I think so. I think that's possible. But you know, we're going to find out, does the bye really mean anything? Like Oregon won the conference championship. They beat Penn State, and they have arguably a pretty tough path to the championship game.
Very.
As the one seed, they're going to be playing the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. We can talk later about what college football playoff needs to do to change this, but this bye system with awarding teams that have shitty records with an automatic bye because they won their championship, I think they need to change that. They need to reseed at the end, and the top four should get the byes, period. But
can I ask you a question on that right there?
Sure.
Maybe I got misinformation, but is there not reseeding? Like if somehow, well, I guess Clemson's 12, if Clemson wins that game, does Oregon not get the lowest remaining seed? Or is it just, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking at your bracket, right? Clemson plays at UT. Winner plays Arizona State.
No matter what.
In the Peach Bowl. Okay.
If this was truly fair based on rankings, Oregon should wind up in the bracket with Arizona State. That's a fucking lucky draw for Texas to be in that.
Yes, absolutely.
Look at Penn State.
Penn State's got the best of all time.
Yeah, but Penn State will find a way to lose.
That they should reseed?
No. So you have the final rankings of the college football playoff committee, right? One Oregon, two Georgia, three Texas, four Penn State. That should be your four byes.
No, I disagree. Because I think it did what college football has always been about. Winning your conference, right? Like, so they've put emphasis on that, right? Like they're trying to reward you for winning the SEC, for winning the ACC. And I think there's value in that. I mean, it's no different, right? But
you got an Arizona State team that has been off the radar the entire year. They got hot at the end, but they
won the Big 12.
Yeah. But the Big 12 sucked. And then the ACC didn't even get a bye because Clemson won with three losses. And so you have Boise State at the third seed.
That's
in a non-Power 5 conference.
Every team can beat Boise State. Every single team.
My biggest complaint is that has the toughest grouping of all of the top-ranked teams. And it's just
right.
The number one team to be in that position doesn't seem right.
Right, and that's because of the way they did the seeding with the automatic buys. I 100% agree, Rooster. And so, but yeah, I mean, look, obviously as a homer, I'm excited about the college football playoffs, but I'm excited because we have, in 2 weeks, guys, I mean, we have Indiana playing at Notre Dame. How awesome is that?
That'll be fun.
You got Tennessee going to Ohio State, Clemson going to UT, and then, of course, you got SMU going to Penn State. I mean, you know, that's four games you would not have in a bowl game or otherwise. That's the first round. Then you got the quarters, which are the Peach, you know, Rose, Fiesta, and Sugar, where you potentially have a Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Boise State, Ohio State, Oregon, again, UT, Arizona.
You might have had those matchups before the four team playoff, but the four team playoff pulled the four best teams out of every other matchup, right? So you're saying, you know, like the idea of Clemson Texas meeting, that might have happened before we had this mini tournament of four teams.
Yeah, Clemson Texas might have happened in the Sugar Bowl.
Right, that's right. But we haven't had that for, you know, 10 years or so.
But there, the stakes would have been, you get to win the Sugar Bowl and you get, you know, the money and the prestige that comes with that, but you're not in the game. Clemson and UT are in the game, the winner of that game, to go on to the playoffs.
So who's got the biggest gripe for not getting in? Is there nobody who has a gripe?
I don't see how the first two out are Bama and Miami. I guess maybe Miami.
Miami.
I mean, they have two losses, but
two bad losses.
They had two.
But how many great wins did they have?
They had a terrible.
They beat Florida.
Awful. They did beat the Gators, man.
And that was before Florida turned it around. Florida's a better
Gators team. Are amazing. The Gators are amazing. I mean, it would be very hard for us to take on the Gators.
You'll see on December 20th.
I'll tell you, my Super Bowl is the Gasparilla Bowl. There's no doubt about
my
it.
God.
That is definitely my Super Bowl to watch.
I will be there.
Need to go and do a live pod there or something.
So our listeners know, the Gasparilla Bowl will be the Florida Gators, who are one of the greatest SEC teams of all time. I think they won back-to-back national championships against the lowly Tulane Green Wave. Lowly.
If you're wondering, it's a Friday 3:30 p.m. kickoff because it's such a great game. Nothing like a Friday 3:30 kickoff.
Sorry,
Let's talk about, because it's Bison bringing up a good point. He's like, does any team have a gripe? I mean, Alabama was the first one out. And so you had a classic discussion, and that's what, Milk and I'd love to talk to Ward Manuel about. You had a classic discussion of, you have a 3-loss Alabama team with a high strength of record versus a 2-loss SMU team who'd beat no ranked teams. And you're like, okay, how do you weigh those, right? Well, then you have some factors that go into that. One is SMU is undefeated in the ACC, goes to the conference championship game, and loses. All right, so this committee set precedent for if you go and play an extra game, because the other teams that were already ranked even below SMU were automatically in because they didn't have to play another game. So like Rhett Lashley said, you know, it's absurd, but he goes, well, what if we all got COVID and didn't play in the championship game? According to the committee, we would not get moved because there's no more data points. So the next data point is conference championship game. If you lose that, but you're ranked in the top 12 going in, the committee's like, all right, we're not going to penalize you. Now, that being said, behind me is the catch that SMU, made at the very end of the game with 16 seconds left. And I think that put them in the college football playoff, because if they don't come back and at least tie the game and lose on a miracle 56-yarder at the final play, I don't think SMU goes, because you can say, well, the eye test was SMU couldn't stay on the field with Clemson. But for that fourth quarter comeback, I think they would have been out. So lots of variables go into it. Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss all had 3 losses. They all had their own reasons to gripe. No question about that.
Who is – I'm curious. I want to know one team that somebody thinks could make a run that would surprise people. Because I have one. I think Notre Dame could.
That would be my pick too.
Notre Dame has no chance.
Notre Dame best team unless, they beat unless, was Army, unless, right?
Unless Beck is out.
Yeah, unless Beck is out.
Beck is out.
He's a wild card
to be out.
He wasn't great all season. I mean, up and down. That's why I think that Notre Dame could have a run.
I think Beck and Ewers for Texas really hurt their NFL draft standing this season. They were both talked about as number 1-2 quarterbacks early in the season for the draft, and now they're lucky if they go second round.
I mean, you could see Penn State making a run. I kind of like my dark horse to win the whole thing is Tennessee.
I was about to say Tennessee is the one to me that potentially could make a run.
I could see them knocking Oregon.
They have a freshman quarterback though, which in the Big State is kind of hard to know yet.
Oregon has so much firepower.
They do, but their defense, I don't know if their defense is comparable to Georgia or Texas.
I don't like how the second round games are not at the higher seeds home stadiums. Those are going to be the traditional bowl games, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I don't
know. So are those like New Year's Day games, the second round?
Yeah, their New Year's Eve is Fiesta, and New Year's Day are the other three.
I mean, Boise State should be hosting a playoff game. That would be amazing.
On the blue field?
On the blue field. They're not. It sucks.
Are we going to be watching pitchers and catchers report before this thing is over? When does this thing actually end?
It's over January 20th. It's over like...
Holy shit.
Right around the first...
Nace, this is what you wanted.
Wild card week.
Boise State is playing for the national championship.
SMU. This is great.
Indiana.
I'm on board.
Penn State is playing that game against SMU, and they've you know reserved it as their whiteout game. That is going to be a spectacle on television.
And by the way,
that place is going to be 111,000 people wearing white. Is going to be at night. Is going to be crazy.
Tickets were under $200.
Really?
Where?
Where at Happy State. Valley?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Somebody. Well, I mean, bought them.
I'd be curious what the ticket prices are. You know, in Austin. You know, what are they in South Bend? I mean, I don't know. You know, first round. I have University of Texas friends. You may know them, who are holding out. They're going to go to the game in Austin, but they're holding out till semifinals and final. I mean, they're confident, you know, I'm not sure they're going to go to all the games.
Right.
Or plan on going to all the games.
Yeah. A lot of great.
I mean,
stories.
That is four games.
All right.
There are a lot of great stories in some of these games. I think the Ohio State coach may be playing for his job. Literally, yes. Ryan Day. I think Notre Dame, after an embarrassing opening game loss, has not lost since with a very, very popular coach. Indiana, who's always been like an also-ran from the Big Ten, is now in this thing. And the Arizona State team has a running back that no one's talking about that could really have easily been a Heisman candidate, like a legit Heisman candidate. So one thing that I love about this playoff is that we are going to be watching football of teams that we don't normally see. We're always seeing the Georgias and the Texas and the Clemsons and the Notre Dames even, but we're going to be watching some football Alabama. We don't normally get to see. And Alabama. Well, I'm so glad
we'll have a lot more time to talk about the college football playoff. So we'll be watching this, but it should be fun. And you're right. I do think this is good. So, all right, let's move on to the NFL week 14. Rooster, what did we learn? What was fun?
Very, very consequential games week 14 and coming up in week 15. You know, what we learned is it's not just the NFC, or I'm sorry, the AFC North, that's a really competitive division. But the West in both conferences has a hell of a year-end schedule coming up. You know, Kansas City, of course, clinched at 12-1. But the Chargers in Denver are both 8-5. They could either one of them can go to the playoffs. The Chargers looked really good against the Chiefs last night, lost by 2 points, and could have easily won that game.
Mill, could you give us your thoughts on the Chiefs winning that game, by the way?
I'm done with them. Freaking done. Done.
It's unbelievable. Do you guys realize that's the 15th straight one-score game that they have won? They've been in one score difference.
It's amazing.
They won out of that in a 15 fumble straight.
They lost most of those one score games. They would be, I saw they would be 2-11. They'd be the number one seed to get the overall pick. And they're by the skin of their teeth, they're almost the worst team in the NFL.
Oh, never seen them.
I the magic's going to run out, guys. It's just,
They're not that good. Sorry.
No.
And in the NFC, you know, the Rams played the game of the week. One of the games of the week, anyway. I mean, the Green Bay Detroit game was pretty damn good. But the Rams put up 44 against Buffalo, who scored 42. And so now they're 7-6. Seattle is 8-5. The Rams are playing San Francisco next week, and Seattle's playing Green Bay next week. So, like I say, week 15 is very consequential in terms of who winds up squeaking in. The number seven spot. It could be the Rams who win the division in the end. We'll see. The Arizona had their chance, baby, and they blew it. They got smoked by Seattle. So Arizona could have been 7-6 along with the Rams, and Seattle, if they had lost that game to the Arizona, would have been 7-6, and you had a three-way tie in the NFC West. But Seattle stepped up without their best running back, Kenneth Walker, and ran all over the Cardinals. You know, what'd you guys take out of this week? I thought it was a very consequential week, and you saw some teams that have been down show that they really are solid, good teams. Like San Francisco, now that it's healthy, put on a show against the Bears.
Too late.
Well, but you don't want to be playing them at the end of the year either.
No, you don't want to be playing right now. You don't want to be playing the Rams, the Buccaneers, or the 49ers. You do not want to be playing those teams early in the playoffs. Milk hates Thursday night games, and yet we got another incredible Thursday night game this week with the Packers and the Lions. Yeah. I mean, that was just a throwdown. That was an incredible game.
And man, that Dan Campbell, he does have some balls.
For that fourth down play.
Yeah, that was.
Can we all?
Did the home team win? The home team won that game.
The home team won barely. Relax, Milk. Can we stick a final fork in Kirk Cousins? Can we just stick it in him?
Yes, please.
That's seven interceptions and no touchdowns.
Have they announced they're switching? They're
no, don't switch it.
No, he said they're not.
They are crazy not to switch to Penix.
That's great. That's the best news I've heard in a while. Keep them.
You got to play them. Penix and into that mix and expect him to win. I mean, that's just a bad idea.
Well, by the way, guys, Minnesota is 11-2, and nobody gives them any respect still.
Heard some crazy thing that other than the Packers, I don't know if this is true, this can't be true, but other than the Packers opening game loss to the Eagles, that the Packers, Lions, and Vikings only losses this season are to each other. They've not lost to any other team in the NFL other than each other. So they're just, those teams are in a lot of ways the ones to beat.
Wow. Interesting.
And Minnesota's going to win next week. They're playing Chicago, so they'll be 12-2. Green Bay has a tough game against Seattle, and Detroit's playing Buffalo. I mean, Detroit's
in. That's a great game.
Detroit is clinched.
Big loss by Buffalo.
Yep.
Well, as bad as the Chiefs are, though, that gives them a two-game edge now on Buffalo.
Rams look really good
for the bye.
And how about this looming game of the Buccaneers at the Chargers? These are two teams How could you say that?
Turned the ball over three times yesterday. Baker looked terrible. I have no comment.
Well, Evans is still rusty, too.
God, I think the Chargers kill us.
You have a 71% chance of making the playoffs.
How are we not talking about the big game next week of the Steelers at Eagles? I mean, you guys, y'all were a fingertip away from losing that game.
We had a really, really bad game offensively in the passing game in particular. I think the Steelers, if anyone thinks they're not for real at this point, they need to get their head checked. The Eagles, like, eventually it runs out. We've spun off 9 in a row, and I just don't think we match up great with the Steelers' defense. And it would be okay with me. It's almost impossible. The Lions need to lose twice. We don't beat them in the head-to-head for the tiebreaker. And we don't even beat the Vikings in the tiebreaker right now. So it's almost impossible for us to be a one seed at this point. If we had to get a loss to get our head checked out of the way, it should be against the Steelers. I don't know. I have no idea why the odds makers have us 5.5-point favorites at home against the Steelers. I just don't see it.
House, I heard some griping from AJ Brown about the passing game, and I started having flashbacks to last season where passing game and the offense started collapsing and the locker room went and Sirianni couldn't keep it together. Is there any concern in Philadelphia that this is setting up to be a repeat of last season?
I don't think it can go that bad offensively because of Saquon, but I do think when you've got a top 5 receiver in the NFL and you're not getting him the ball, it's either on Kellen Moore, on Nick Sirianni, on Jalen Hurts. Jalen had a bad game yesterday. There were definitely some wind issues. And I mean, I was there. Playing one side into the wind was very, very difficult in the passing game, but you got to get the ball to that guy. And he was open a number of times. Your number one receiver on most teams, half the teams in the NFL, are going to be a diva like that and say, get me the damn ball. I don't love it when you're 11-2.
When you're 11-2 and you're letting that shit get out of the locker room to the public, you know, juxtapose that to the way, say, Amon St. Rob Brown behaves after nobody throws him the ball in a Lions game.
I agree with you.
That's the difference between the two. I'd be very concerned about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am.
Sirianni's not Dan Campbell and can control the locker room the same way.
I think that's true, too. And I think what's going to happen is that Jalen's going to overcompensate and try to force the ball into AJ. And he hasn't been throwing any picks for weeks. He's been protecting the ball. You can count on go put your bet in now to DraftKings that the Steelers are going to get at least one interception. Take the over on half an interception next week.
Okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Bison's making a note of that.
I'm writing it down. I'm writing it down right now. Rooster, I'm sure you overlooked wishing Mac Jones congratulations.
Oh, is he still in the league?
Big win over the Titans.
And how are we not talking about this huge Monday night matchup? I mean, how can you avoid that?
You're right.
Please. We have a
we're only talking about playoff contenders.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Speaking of which, Baltimore is playing the Giants next week, so they're going to be 9-5 after week 15, and so Pittsburgh could lose to Philadelphia and still be 10-4 and in good shape in the North.
Why are we not flexing games at this point? Why
I was wondering the same thing.
Did we have to watch the Giants and the Saints?
I only know this because I was looking at our schedule. We have two potential. Washington has two potential flex, like on the schedule, it actually says, you know, TBD. And it's one of them's the Eagles, and I think the other is
Falcons at Commanders.
Is that the one? Yeah.
Yeah. So no, both it's of those Falcons at Commanders and Commanders at Cowboys are the two flex.
Oh, I thought ours with Eagles was one that could get, or the Eagles at Washington, but
that would make sense. At noon.
If we lose, to Pittsburgh and you will beat the Saints, banged up Saints without a quarterback.
Yeah.
I think that there's a good chance that gets flexed.
Yeah. So it's coming. The flex games are coming though.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
All right. Well, we got to talk. Can we just stop with the Plaxico segment? Do we need to keep talking about that? It seems like it's run its course in my
We
view.
Have to talk about it.
Hey, speaking though of the crappy games, Jacksonville and Tennessee, both two win teams playing each other, in the running for the number one pick. I mean, it's no wonder they only put up 16 points in that game. Nobody wanted to win it, but let's go on. We'll go on to the.
Excuse me.
What's that?
Mac Jones did.
Well, Mac Jones is playing for his career, I guess.
By the way, he had 220 yards passing and two interceptions.
Awesome.
Oh, God. He's so bad. Wow.
Milk quarterback. Speaking of Plaxico Milk, you have now jumped into the lead.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Milk is in first place after last week. We had a rough week last week.
With a tie?
We went 3-2. So going into last week, I was in first place. I picked the Saints against the Giants, giving 4.5, and they only beat them by 3 points. So I got a loss. I'm now 9-5. Milk stuck with the Chargers, +4 against the Chiefs, won that game, and is now 9-4-1.
Oh, goddamn ties.
Yeah, these ties.
Ties.
Yeah.
Ties.
House picked the Bears +4 at San Francisco, and the Bears got blown out. Yes. So he drops to 8-6 and is in a tie for third place with Pope, who picked the Lions -3.5 at Green Bay, and they didn't cover. So he picked up a loss. You guys are both 8-6. Bison got the only other win of the week, picked Minnesota -4.5 against Atlanta, and of course they won by a mile. So Bison is now 5-9. So you, Bison, you get to go first. Pope second, since House
Bison will go first the rest of the year, won't he?
I think so.
Meant that
Pope, you're going to go second since you're the most recent to the third place. But then House, then me, then Milk.
All right.
All right. I mean, this is a little bit of a scary one because of how big it is, but after watching the Giants a little bit, man, I got to take Baltimore 14.
Scratch that one off the list.
I mean, the Giants just are a mess. How is that coach still on the sideline for them? I don't get it.
Well, Malik Nabers actually did pay for that plane thing, right? He's just joking when he said he didn't. That flew across the stadium.
What did it say? Remind us.
It said a
dumpster fire.
Mara, clean up your mess.
Mr. Mara, yeah. Clean up this dumpster fire.
He totally paid for that.
All right. I don't like any of the games this week. The lines are really tight, and these are tough to pick. But I don't think the Packers should be getting points going to Seattle. That's a tough place to play. And the Packers are giving 3. So I'm going to take the Seahawks, an underdog at home.
Huh?
All right. House?
Oh, nice. I didn't think I'd have... Okay, so now I've got 2 choices. I have to pick one of them. I thought one of them would get eaten up. Let's see. I'm going to go... I like the Broncos playing for their playoff life, and I think the Colts stink. So I'm going to take the Broncos at home -3.5.
I like anything with the Broncos.
Yep.
Good pick.
Yep. All right. I'm almost tempted to take the Giants +14.5.
You can take it. You can take it.
I know,
you could
right?
take them. You could take them. Do it.
They just suck ass.
Friends don't let friends bet drunk. Don't do it.
Hello. All right. I'm going to take the Vikings -6.5 against the Bears.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Okay. All right. So I'm up.
There's one good bet left out there.
This is going to shock the world. You guys never would think I would take this team, but I have seen them over the last 3 weeks overperform. This is turning into a really decent team.
You're going to take the Panthers.
I'm taking the Panthers. -1.5 against Dallas or whatever you guys have it as. They're just.
Yeah, no, that's what I have.
I like it.
Wow. Give me Carolina. I'm telling you, this is not a bad team.
Wow. No, Bryce Young has progressed nicely. Bryce Young has
turned it around. For sure.
He is progressing nicely.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on NFL? All right, listen, we got a lot more ground to cover here, but I'm going to do a real quick. The F1 season came to an end yesterday in Abu Dhabi. The driver championship was decided in Vegas a couple weeks ago. That was Max Verstappen, but we did have a pretty close, tight battle for the constructors championship, which got even a little tighter on lap one when McLaren just pretty much. I mean, if McLaren won. They were going to win the race. They would lock up. There was no way that Ferrari could catch them. But if they didn't, it was going to be close. And it got a little concerning for McLaren when Verstappen spun Piastri out on lap one. And Classic. You weren't going to be sure if Piastri was going to be able to keep going. He did end up finishing the race, but it didn't matter anyway, because Lando Norris from the get-go was in control of that race and brought it home. And maybe one of the coolest things about McLaren, first of all, I think they said Lando Norris was 13 days old the last time McLaren won a Constructors' Championship in 1998. But maybe one of the coolest things that shows you it's a team sport is when Lando came in for a pit stop, they brought him in. They had just enough time that he could pit and get out ahead of Carlos Sainz, who was hot to trot behind him. And they turned in a 2-second pit stop.
Wow.
I think it was one of the top 3 pit stops of the entire season for any team. So the pit stop that mattered the most, they nailed it, got Lando back out on the track ahead of Sainz, and it was just never in question that he was going to finish it out. So that was pretty exciting. Congratulations to McLaren. On their first constructors since 1998. The other, big news you had was Lewis Hamilton's last race in a Mercedes, sort of emotional there. I don't know that any of us followed it that closely when he left McLaren and went to Mercedes, but at the time it was not thought to be a good move for his career. And of course he turned out to win 7, world championships there. And it was probably one of the most dominant teams in the history of really of all sports, you could argue. over 7 years. So that was the end of the season. I think you got to look ahead now to next year and some of the driver lineups. There's going to be a lot of changes. You know, right now it's Max and Sergio, but there's about a 0% chance that Sergio, even though he's under contract, keeps that seat. So we don't know who's going to fill that seat. Ferrari is going to have Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton joining, which will be really interesting to see how Lewis does in a Ferrari. McLaren, of course, they might be the most steady with Lando and Oscar, and they probably have to be the favorites to win. I saw something that it's been like 10 years or something, or maybe even longer, 20 years since a constructor hasn't won back-to-back championships. So it seems like once you get it together, you're ahead of the field. Mercedes has George Russell now becomes the senior driver, and Kimi Antonelli will take over Lewis's seat. Aston stays the same with Fernando Alonso, Lance Stroll, whatever that RB Cash App Visa thing, whatever that team is. I guess they've got Yuki Tsunoda, and then we're not sure who the other driver is. I don't think for them at this point, who's going to be there. So what else then? Haas has Ollie Bearman and Esteban Ocon, and Alpine, Pierre Gasly and Jack Doohan, who will be a rookie. And Williams has the big change with Alex Albon sticking there, but also Carlos Sainz joining the team. That'll be a big
move
for them. And then Kik Sauber, I don't know, did Kik Sauber get any points this season? I don't think they finished with any points. They have a whole new lineup in Nico Hülkenberg and Gabriel Bortoleto. So that's your preview for next year. Again, the big one is what's going to happen to Sergio.
You watched the race yesterday. I said to Bison a little bit later, it's a shame that Abu Dhabi track is the last track of the year. It is such a spectacular, visually spectacular track between the sunsets and the night and the buildings there. But the track itself allows for such incredible wheel-to-wheel racing, and we saw a lot of that yesterday. And I think in two of the greatest performances of the season, you saw Charles Leclerc go from 19th to 3rd and Lewis go from 16th to 4th. And, you know, Leclerc had the car behind him to do it. It's questionable whether Mercedes would do that. But, you know, if you ever want to see, talk about loyalty and staying, you know, Lewis could have mailed that one in. He's switching over to Ferrari next year. He started in 16th place and he kept charging all the way up to 4th. And then you had a guy, Sergio Perez.
By the way, passing George Russell, his teammate.
Passing George Russell on the last lap. And then you had a guy, Sergio Perez. And I used to love Checo, but I think Checo knows he's out a Red Bull. And I honestly think that he pretty much caused his own bumper-to-bumper accident on the first lap and just pulled out of the race, collected his check, and he's done. And, you know, like, there you had the comparison between a great loyal racer and a guy who just doesn't have it, at least for his own team. And I thought what Lewis did yesterday was one of the coolest things ever, going 16th to 4th and charging hard for his team. It's a shame he didn't get on the podium, but
I know
that was goosebumps seeing him charge past George Russell on that last lap.
I still think Sergio's lost his nerve and doesn't want to be out there.
It looked that way yesterday.
Which would explain the difference between Lewis's performance and Sergio's. Sergio's trying to get an early exit.
Well, Sergio's going to get his wish. So I don't think he's going to be out there.
He's going to be an ambassador for Red Bull next year.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything else on F1? Okay. Who's got a punch? House, by any chance, might you have a punch this week?
I mean, I have so many punches, but I think this organization has now passed Dan Snyder and whoever else we had as the all time
Dolan.
But we've got to punch the NCAA again. I am sorry, but they got the college football playoff part right, but the way this NIL and transfer portal is dismantling college football. I can't punch this kid, Darian Mensa, who was a superstar freshman for Tulane, but And frankly, I think the fact that he was the third quarterback on the roster, John Summerall gave him a chance, put him in a starting spot, and he failed to show his own loyalty to stick by Summerall and stay on the team.
That's a whole separate matter. You can punch him.
I don't think
I can. Don't be loyal to him. He wasn't loyal to you.
I mean, once he gets to Alabama, then I'll punch him. But I just want to. I just want to say, like, is he going to Oregon? I don't know. He'll go to one of the very best.
House, he was on his computer, you know, on the transfer portal in public, so other people could see what he was doing.
Apparently, the team knew it before the Army game that Mensah was gone. That affected that too. But all of this, all of that blood is on the hands of the NCAA. The timing of when you can announce it, the portal, the money, all of this, you're going to see. Just get ready over the next few weeks. We can punch again if we want, but just get ready to hear all the players who want to be in the draft or who want to be in the portal, who now don't play in the bowl games, and then the bowl games get watered down because of it. And it's just a shitty, shitty system. And yeah, I'm taking it hard because I'm losing a great superstar quarterback in the making, but it's because of the system, and the system sucks, and they got to fix that part of it. I don't think it's going to go on forever like this. I don't think it's sustainable to keep having essentially free agency in college football. And I hope they fix it.
They should take the nameplates off the back of the jerseys, because you're just rooting for the front of the jersey at this point. There's no reason to root for any of the names on the back, because they switch every year, which is what college football, college sports in general, wasn't supposed to be.
Okay, hold on. So first of all, do the top teams every year ranked lose a lot of players? Yeah, there's a couple guys.
Look at Alabama's attrition already this year.
Okay. Well,
they're gonna replenish, though. I mean, to answer your question,
I think Alabama had 63 players turnover this year. Something crazy like that.
They've already got like 9 or 10 on the transfer portal since yesterday.
Yeah. Wait, but who are these guys? Who? Backups?
So they're what they are. Well, a couple of them started, but they got 4 and 5 stars who go to programs like Alabama when they were able to stock them and had depth, but now they're not getting the playing time, so they have an option.
Right.
The option is to go get playing time somewhere else.
I don't have a problem with that. If you're not playing, why can't you go somewhere else? And to the Tulane quarterback, if the Oregon coach, Dan Lanning, has reached out to you and said, hey, man, we need a quarterback next
year. Dylan Gabriel's graduating, you know.
Gabriel's gone.
Yeah.
You fit right into our system.
Well, shouldn't there be a rule against that kind of tampering?
Well,
during the season.
Yeah, I don't know
think that's allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if that's exactly what happened.
This is a hypothetical. But once you say you're in the transfer portal, then I think all bets are off.
Yeah.
And
you can, by the way, just because you're in the portal doesn't mean you're leaving.
You don't have
to. We've reached no barriers to entry. Mensah is represented by a kid who was playing baseball for University of Tennessee Chattanooga 2 years ago named Skyler, who's like, you know, like, he's good. It doesn't need to be Lanning. Skyler's
agent.
Skyler's going to call him.
Dude?
He's a dude.
That's like Tommy DeVito's agent.
Skyler's going to call him and be like, yo, I've been checking this out. I think Oregon's got an empty spot.
I'll be
back.
I got to update. I have to update my website. I'll be back in a little bit. Sorry. I'll be right
Tubby,
back.
Tubby, you need to enlist your boys into being the dude.
Yeah. He's like, hey, bro, how much do you think Scott Boris made on that Soto deal?
Yeah.
There are going to be no barriers to entry. That's what's going to happen. The Skylers of the world. So I'm punching Skyler. That's what I'm punching.
Fuck you, Skyler.
Punch the NCAA. Skyler. Any other punches? We've got the NCAA and Skyler. Any other
I love it.
All right. Who's got a lasso?
Barbecue sauce.
I've been gone for a while, so give me the floor.
You have it.
Make it house.
I like this thing that Major League Baseball does to get it right for veterans that got passed over when they probably should have made it before.
Yeah, hear, hear.
And I don't know if you guys heard yesterday that Dick Allen and Dave Parker were named, I guess, on this classic baseball era committee, or will enter Cooperstown. Dick Allen unfortunately has a pretty ugly history in Philadelphia, and that he came to the team in 1964 when there was still a lot of racism going on. He faced a lot of it. The team treated him really, really shitty. He had a really, really hard time.
He was rookie of the year.
He was rookie of the year, seven-time All-Star, moved over to the White Sox, became the AL MVP, two-time home run leader, 292 average, 351 home runs. Just like great, great, great stats. And I think we all probably remember, some of us remember Dave Parker. But the shame of it is that, you know, Dick Allen died at 78. His family knows. Of course, he's in posthumously, but Dick Allen never lived to see it. Dave Parker's been living with Parkinson's since 2012, probably has very little understanding of it. It's great. It's a great feeling that these guys finally made it. And after all Hall of Famers die eventually, and so their legacy will live on forever. I'm glad that Major League Baseball gives this opportunity to get it right. And so my lassos are particularly for Dick Allen, but Dick Allen, Dave Parker, here's to you for finally getting your just due and getting in the Hall of Fame.
And both too late. They should have been in earlier. I mean, they were both one of the most feared batters in baseball at their prime. You know, Dave Parker, the Cobra, had a rocket for an arm out in the outfield.
Yep.
Willie Stargell would say of Dick Allen that if Dick Allen was relaxed at the plate, the ball was going out of the park. He was really a great, great home run hitter and just an overall very, very good baseball player.
Yep. Yep.
Good for them.
Lasso. Any other lassos? Who's got a buzzer beater this week?
I got one. The NBA Cup starts this week. Last year, the Lakers won it, and I think by all accounts, it was pretty successful, brought a lot of interest kind of in the middle of the season to the NBA, and they're trying to, you know, expand on that and see if they can get more interest going. So the NBA Cup starts. It's interesting because in the East, the top teams, the Celtics and Cavs, are not in the Cup. You've got the Bucks, Knicks, Hawks, and Magic, and in the West, you've got the top teams except for the Grizzlies. You've got Thunder, Rockets, Warriors, and Mavericks. And then they'll end that December 17th in Vegas. So first games this week, and then semis and finals in Vegas.
So are there no other games this week then?
No, there's games. These just, the first round counts for the teams. The semis and the final does not count. But there's games going on the whole time.
Actually, the NBA is dark until Thursday this week, except for cup games. I think the next few nights are just cup games. I'm pretty sure.
Did you say some teams are not in it?
Yeah, it's only eight teams in it. So out of all the
how did they decide the eight teams?
So they had a four game play-in basically by groups. So yeah. the
everybody Thunder was eligible.
Yeah, everybody's eligible. Start. There were three. Yeah, okay. There were three groups. Oklahoma City, Houston, Golden State won their groups. Dallas got a wild card, and then the Bucks, Knicks, Hawks won, and the Magic got the wild card.
Got it.
Cool.
All right. Any other buzzers?
Mine was going to be Dick Allen and Dave Parker, so I don't have one.
There you go.
I've got one.
Oh, good. Okay.
Quick update on college basketball. The new rankings are out. Tennessee, Auburn, and Iowa State are pretty much consensus.
Oh, here we go, Gators.
Three undefeated teams right now. Tennessee, Oklahoma, and who is the third?
Go. Gators.
Gators undefeated. They're in the top 10, and we play UNC in about a week.
Ooh. And Belichick's coaching that team, right?
For our listeners, take a look at the top 12 in the college basketball rankings, because since 2003 the national champion has come out of week six the top 12. No other teams have won. Tidbit.
Interesting. Wow, good one, Pope.
That's outside of stats. Top 12, North Carolina and Florida.
That's Gators. A post that I give a shit about. All right, and I like it.
And UConn.
North Carolina out of the top 25 this week.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. Maybe so, Belichick should coach him. Guys, good show. House, welcome back. Always good to have a full complement of SMQBs.
Right.
Yeah.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.